Hey there, it's Eliza D, host of the podcast How to Save the Planet. Thanks for tuning in today for this special bonus episode. I'm talking with father-daughter duo Kent and Mira, who are joining in from the road as they are on a cross-country car trip in their electric vehicle. They're going from Seattle to Washington, D.C. to bring up awareness of the impacts of the aviation air pollution. Please enjoy my conversation with Mira and Kent. Thanks for having this conversation while you're on the road.
Yes. We were glad that we could finally connect with you.
Yeah.
We got out of the Rockies and now we're a place of humanity or people living around enough for the internet.
Cool. So can you tell me a little bit about yourself and those another kid in the car, Mira? Could you tell me about
Mira? Do you want to start?
I think you should start first, so I know okay. What I'm gonna like talk about.
All right, so I'm Kent Polisari. My day job is I'm a mental health counselor, marriage and family therapist, and my hobby, I guess, is activism, and it's become principally around airport communities and the environment at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Mira and I, Mira was born in SeaTac, the town, not the airport. I lived there for 14 years, and then we just recently moved to Edgewood, basically to get out of the pollution area associated with the airport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
Sure. Go ahead, Mira.
Hi, my name is Mirabella Polisari, but you can call me Mira for short. My job, I guess, is school. My job is school. And the future...
What kind of school do you go to, Mira?
Farm school, basically. I have alpacas, goats, and chickens, stuff like that.
She goes to a Montessori school out towards Covington.
Yeah.
Cool.
And, my hobby is basically activism, and when I grow up, I want to be a marine biologist. And I've been doing activism for about
about 5 years.
5 years? Yeah. I don't know.
Actually, you started when you were four. You went down to Olympia with me for early childhood education advocacy.
Yeah. And thinking what else to talk about. Or about myself. I'm 10 years old.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's
more awesome.
She'll ask more questions later.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about.
Thanks. So right now you all are on an EV aviation tour. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So we're driving from Seattle to Boston, and then
D.C.
and then from Boston to New York to Washington D.C. in a used Tesla that we've named Joe,
and it's a Model S.
Yes, and we picked the Model S on purpose because the Model S you can get 250 miles on your battery, for the sake of getting across country, you need that much. In fact, just now we came kind of dangerously close to running out of battery.
Yeah,
we were down to our last 9 miles.
Oh boy, that's very nerve-wracking.
Yes, yeah. They call it, actually there's a term for it, it's called battery anxiety.
Yeah, we had a lot of that at that point.
I'm feeling that might be getting more common as we start to transition towards electric vehicles.
Yes. Yeah. And that's part of what we're trying to see is what the infrastructure is as far as electric car. Because that's a big push for the Biden administration.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Mira. Did you say something?
Actually, we have been seeing a lot of like Teslas lately while we're driving. We do see like Teslas here and there when we're on like the freeway or
especially
when we're charging.
Yeah, especially around Seattle.
Yeah, around Seattle while we're driving, we like point out the Teslas we see every time we see one.
And we're excited about the new F-150 electric car. Have you seen commercials for those?
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
Because once they get that, then they get Middle America.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. So that sounds like a really productive and needed thing that you all are doing to bring awareness to the health risks of aviation and kind of to scope out how electric cars, how hard it is to go cross country with an electric car.
Well, and part of what we're also doing is promoting a solution summit, actually day two of the solution summit, that we can talk about more later as well.
Mm-hmm. Or now too.
Let's do it now. What the heck? So Mira and I are friendlies. We like to be friendly to people.
Very social.
We're connectors. And so for the last 5 years, I don't just go down to Olympia or the port or wherever. We go down as a family and just, I don't know, hang out kind of and talk with our legislator. I used to be in the 33rd district. Her name is Tina Orwell. And she said the other day that she's never had a family visit as much as we did. We'd go down to Olympia two or three times a year.
Just to say hi.
And then when she, you know, we'd go to her house and usually invited, but sometimes not. It's all good. So my point is that I'm kind of advocating for relational democracy, where it's all about forming relationships with your legislators. And then from there, I started forming relationships with researchers. Mm-hmm. And so the culmination is this Solution Summit, where I'm bringing people from, like, researchers from the UW, actually from Boston, from all over the world, actually, together with legislators throughout the nation, to say, and community activists and community members, because the community is the one that knows best of what's going on and what needs to be done about it. Yeah. And so it's basically community led and supported by legislators and scientists.
That's really cool. Wow. Yeah. How'd you come up with that idea to do like a solution summit?
About 3 years ago, Mira and I did a solutions walk. You want to tell her a little bit about that one?
So basically, we invited like a couple like videotapers and stuff like that. We decided this would be a good idea to do this for like the environment and to stop like
the problem.
The problem.
Or solve the problem.
Solve the problem.
How long was the walk?
For about 12 miles. Yeah. And
it was
hours.
Yes, many hours. It was and we got about 35 people and a lot of legislators at that time.
Yeah, I even met one of my friends for the part of the way.
And we actually had some of the Climate Action Kids when it used to be Plant for the Planet. They walked with us too. Basically it was a solutions walk. And we called it a walk for air, aviation industry redemption, or reform. We looked at 12 different solutions associated with 12 different problems that are associated with the aviation industry.
And actually, partway when we were walking there, we decided to go on one of the electric bikes. Because we were walking at first, but we decided an electric bike would be still for the environment. But we did about 3, maybe 4 miles.
No, it was about two or three.
I don't know.
I'm an old man, and so I needed to do it.
Yeah.
Because the walk actually almost killed me. I mean, literally, I ended up getting an aneurysm. Let's talk a little bit about the health risks living next to an airport. And aneurysms are part of it.
And cancer and many other problems.
Autoimmune diseases, obviously respiratory issues.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know much about ultrafine particles?
A little bit. I know that they're ultrafine. And they can probably do some really bad stuff. Yeah. So if you could explain the health risks about aviation and also fine particles and everything that comes with that.
Yeah. Well, because they go directly into your bloodstream. I mean, and they actually go through your clothes. You can't protect yourself from them. And they're associated with high heat from jet engines. And so, you know, they get into your houses, you get pollution inside your house. I mean, that's how I started getting involved with researchers. I started using a pollution monitor. Bella, would you be able to get that out? And I'll show it to her. That tells you how polluted the environment is.
Yeah.
And do you know much about what OSHA is?
No, could you explain that?
So it's the occupational standard for pollution and toxins in your environment. And so you're only supposed to, I'm not sure, I think it might be in, anyway, we'll try to find it while we're talking, sorry.
Thanks.
But so basically, like for this one reading for pollution, you're supposed to be at like a 12 and 12 for like chronic exposure. And we were typically around the airport twice to three times that amount. And so basically over time, it has major effects. According to the Department of Health, living next to the airport takes 12 years off your life. And another way of translating that is 3.5 hours a day is taken off your life.
Also, it also affects kids. It didn't affect me as much, but actually at my school I went to, that was really, really close to my house. It was like, you could walk there, I'm pretty sure. And actually, like, I went to the nurse's office a lot. It was like my class, basically.
She liked the nurse.
I really liked the nurse.
She didn't need to go. She just liked the nurse.
I just liked the nurse. But I'd see like five different kids like lined up to get like
their inhalers
and stuff like that. And I see that like every day. I'm just like, and that's like from, it's like at recess time they're normally doing that. I'm just like, geez, that's a lot of kids.
And that's a real common phenomena. In fact, Tina Orwell's son had asthma, and that kind of got her attention as far as, you know, the health risks. And so what we've come up with recently, actually, I didn't come up with it. Chris Johnson from the Department of Health did a survey to show where the health risk was around the airport. Mm-hmm. And they came up with actually a conservative figure of a 10-mile radius around SeaTac. And within that, you know, all the things that we've talked about are a much higher rate than outside that zone. And so we call it the danger zone. Around SeaTac, that's basically, if you want to think of, you know, beyond Beacon Hill on the north side, and then as far down as Federal Way, then, you know, Kent, and then obviously West Seattle. That's 700,000 people.
Wow, that's a lot of people at risk.
And then we extrapolated that for the Solution Summit, and we put it around the top 25 airports in the U.S. and that comes out to 10% of the U.S. population.
Wow, so like all of the people who are affected by aviation pollution.
Yeah, so that's that's only the top 25, right? So you know, it's probably
all the
closer
other
to
smaller 50, airports.
Right, and so it's closer to 15 to 20% probably when it's all said and done. When you know, when you look at New York City, you have JFK, LaGuardia, and Newark. So now we're talking between 8 and 10 million people are affected by aviation pollution.
Wow, you can't make that up. That's really bad. That's amazing.
It's scary.
At risk. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because actually some people can like die from this and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Actually, one of our neighbors did at our old neighborhood. We're pretty sure she did, or she did die from old age. It could be.
Well, it could be a little bit of both.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, thank you. So there's the spiel. And so what we're doing is we're taking that you know, especially the 10-mile danger zones, mm-hmm. we're taking that to Washington, to all the legislators, and saying, look, even if you don't have a district that's close to an airport, this is a national, and, you know, within your state, it's a problem, right? So we're actually getting, so what's different about this solution summit is we're coming up with solution teams. I'll do a quick plug. It's going to be this Friday. I mean, this next Friday, I'll send you a link later, or I don't know if you have one or not, but, it's going to be, from like 8 a.m. to like 2 p.m. in the afternoon. And what we're trying to do is we're looking at different solutions and creating ongoing teams that include community activists, legislators, and scientists, so that we can have, ongoing year round. In other words, it's not just like a workshop. It's actually trying to create ongoing movement around some of these solutions.
Cool. That's a very creative idea. I love that. So now that we've heard a lot about like how dangerous and really just like detrimental the air pollution can be, what are some like solutions that you all know of?
What were a couple that you would think, Mira?
Well, I would think more people getting electric cars, first thing.
You're going electric in general.
Electric in general. Also, I've noticed that not much people pay attention to this, but there's also a lot of people that are littering the ocean. There's a lot of people that are smoking, and smoking actually does affect a lot of it. It affects you and other people around you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm thinking of other ones.
Well, one of the things that we're also advocating for, so there's almost like low-hanging fruit, and then there's more complicated solutions,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like the electric plane, we are advocating. That's when I say going electric. But actually, small like private jets aren't too far off as far as electric plane.
Yeah, or like a hybrid, even.
Right, hybrid's another option. Looking at hydrogen maybe as an alternative for mm-hmm. airplanes. The long haul. Probably hybrid is the only way you can go as far as that goes. But long story short, we're also Bill Gates is a big proponent of just flying less.
Yeah, just flying less.
That would work.
Yeah. What we're trying to call is everybody do a 50% reduction in their flying.
Also, you can take trains, you can take boats, you can also take your car,
Oh, seriously, no, I gotta tell you, last night I met this guy in the bathroom who was biking across the U.S. He's biking from Seattle to New York.
Wow, that is,
and he was he's a thrill seeker. I don't know what to tell you, but he was a really nice guy. But so he was on day 3. He had made it as far as Spokane. And so it's going to take him until like September.
Oh my goodness. Wow, that's incredible.
So, yeah, what we're doing is not quite as incredible, but hopefully we can still get the word out.
We can still get
the attention. That's awesome.
Like that.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
Any other questions or...
Yeah, so this question is more about your activism. I guess this is all about activism, but so there's an organization called Mira's Garden that I think Mira and maybe her family helped found. Could you talk a little bit about that and what you all do with Mira's Garden?
Well, it actually started, I started a documentary called Mira's Garden, where we were, you want to tell them a little bit about the garden, Mira?
So we went to this one community center that had a garden there, and you could actually like rent a couple plots. So you could like plant stuff there. And we thought that'd be super fun. So when I was about, what age was that when we first started doing
it? I think it was like when you were 6 and 7.
So when I was about 6, we started doing it. It was actually super fun. We did it for a while. And then, sorry, I'm not very good with my ages, like when I do stuff. But what age was that when we figured out that?
Well, when we were 7. See, what was interesting is this was donated land from the Port of Seattle.
Yeah.
Okay, they donated this land because you can't build there because it's right underneath the airplane. I mean, the airplanes literally are landing right above this community center. So you can't live there, but they have fields that kids can play in and you can have a community garden there.
Yeah.
That kind of seems still at risk though, because like if you're not supposed to like live there, why let people even go there in the first place?
There you
go.
It's
unsafe.
Right. And so we actually got our soil and our tomatoes
tested
down at the University of Arizona because we couldn't get anybody around Washington to do it. By the way, it's not easy to be an aviation activist in Boeing's backyard.
Yeah, I bet. That's amazing that you all are doing that. It's such an important issue.
So what we found out was that the tomatoes were chock full, actually carrots and tomatoes were chock full of all these heavy metal toxins. And so I had to tell Mira, and we had a blast at that garden, right, Mira?
Oh yeah, we had so much fun. I even named some of the flowers when I was a kid.
Yeah, they have a beautiful flower garden and a Japanese garden associated with it too.
Yeah.
And so long story short, I had to tell her we couldn't eat the fruits and vegetables in the garden.
Yeah, and I was pretty sad about that.
That's when I kind of used that as the cornerstone of the documentary and then for the nonprofit of saying, mm-hmm. what's the world that we're giving our children, especially children around mm-hmm. the airport?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are some things that Mira's garden has done?
We're co-hosting this Solution Summit.
Yes.
Which I mean, so the University of Washington is working closely with us. So that's our, I guess you say our first big initiative, well, as well as putting this documentary together. And then we're also working on some other social justice initiatives as well.
Cool. That's awesome. Well, I think that's all the questions that I have. If I could let you all guys get back on the road or to your hotel, whatever you all have planned for tonight after a long day of driving.
Yeah, we still have to charge up, but we'll go get some food.
I'm probably going to take a nap.
She's going to take a
that
nap.
That sounds good.
we still have to get on to Billings, which is probably another 2 or 3 hours, but I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us.
Yes, yeah, of course. Really. Thank you for all that you're doing. This is such an important issue that you all are shedding light on.
And you can go to Mirror's Garden. We have a Facebook page, and you can also look us up on Instagram. And we'll be posting, different posts. We're also, have a GoFundMe to finance the trip. And so, if anybody's interested in that, that would be great too.
Yep, I can link the, does Mira's Garden have like a website?
Yes. And
I could link the website.
You can also contact me if you can't find it or whatever, but you could look it up under Mira's Garden and it's,
oh, there's, I can link it's Mira's...
also, what's that?
Oh, I was just saying that I can link the Mira's Garden website in the episode description. Thanks for tuning in to How to Save the Planet. See you next time.